Father, we love you. We look to you. Father, this isn't about me. Lord, I know who I am without you. I know what I did in my life without you. I know that what I was without you, and it wasn't very impressive. There wasn't much really good there to look at and say, wow, that was a good thing. No. And Father, I point that out not to bash or demean myself, but Father, I point that out because, Father, I want you to know I'm humbly looking to you for your help today. Father, we're not here because of Pastor Mike Anderson. We're not here because the name is Family Church. We're here because this is where you've called us. We're here because you have a plan this morning. So we look to you, Jesus. Help us. And Lord, I thank you that your word declares that it is a right thing. It is your plan that I would open my mouth and that you would fill it with words from heaven. And Father, I would speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, that I would minister with boldness and with utterance today. And Father, I thank you that something supernatural is going to happen in this service. And what I mean is something's going to come out of my mouth that is pertinent to every single person's life here today. It will hit the bullseye of their life. It'll help them to grow. It'll help them to get better. Father, it'll be as if you're just talking to them, and it'll almost be like to say, how did Pastor know I needed to hear that? And the truth is I didn't, but Father, you're faithful. So Lord, we thank you. We look to you. Father, we believe that we're going to walk out of here blessed, walk out of here changed. So speak to us, hit bullseyes in our heart, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I was up in Canada a little while ago, maybe a week, week and a half, 2 weeks ago, somewhere around then. And Pastor Nancy was up there in Mississauga at Pastor Craig Fields Church. And, you know, it's amazing. In those services, going back to when Dr. Dufresne was there, her husband who's now with Jesus, when he would minister there, almost every single first night I would get specially ministered to. And it happened again that night, praise God, where she came over and spoke by inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so she's a supply in my life, and that church is. But she preached a sermon that first night. And when she did, fireworks just went off on the inside of me. And so I knew that we would share along these lines the next time that I ministered here. It won't be the exact same thing because God had taken me a little different direction with it. But the main thing, what she was saying, just was popping. And as a pastor, you know, your main objective is to care for sheep. A pastor's like a shepherd. What's a shepherd do? It cares for the sheep. Wants the sheep blessed in every arena, in every realm. And so a message like that, and what was going off in my spirit, I was excited about, because I know that bringing it back to here and going the way the Lord leads me is only going to lead to increase in your life if you'll be doers of it. Amen. If you'll be doers of it. And so this stuff's been marinating and just marinating and marinating, and I've been meditating on it now since that night. And so it's time to take the meat out of the fridge that's been marinating, and it's time to serve it. You know, venison backstraps, they're good just plain, but they're better if they've been marinating for 8 hours. They're even better if they've been marinating for 16 hours. They're even better if they've been marinating for 24 hours. They're even better if they've been marinating for 36 hours or if they've been marinating for 48 hours. The longer it sits in that marinade, man, it tastes good when it's served. Praise God. And so it's been marinating in there. So let's go to what God has for us here today. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says that the thief comes just to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life. So if you've ever thought God was the stealer, the killer, the destroyer, I just proved in one verse that's not true. God is not that way. The devil is. God is good. God is for you, and God wants the best for you. You need to know that, because sometimes we come from different backgrounds and different places, and we have ideas of what the movies say God is, what the news say God is, what religion says God is. But the Bible says that Jesus is the life giver, not the life taker. He's not the destroyer, he's not the killer, he's not the robber. That's not his goal. His goal is to bring life to you and give you life more abundantly. That's what he says. Now, abundant life, is that word life there in that verse, is the Greek word, because the Bible is written Greek, not English. We turned it into English after translating it. Is the word zoe, and that means the abundant life, or the God kind of life, or the divine life like God enjoys, or what we would like to call, to make it easy to understand, heaven on earth. And the Bible says that you'll have days of heaven on earth, and Jesus prayed that people would have heaven on earth, and abundant life is heaven on earth. Amen? Amen. That means what's going on in heaven, God wants to happen down here for you. Now, the only thing difference between up there and down here is there's no tests and trials up there. Down here, there's tests and trials, but thank God he's given us the victory. Hallelujah. But God wants us to enjoy what heaven has. He wants us to enjoy freedom in our children's lives and blessing in our kids' lives. He wants us to enjoy prosperity in our finances. He wants us to enjoy health in our body, peace of mind, favor and protection, long life. He wants us to enjoy those things. Amen? And we all want those things, don't we? Not only for ourselves, because it's better to live a blessed life and you can be, it's better when your family's blessed, no doubt about that. But even more importantly, God wants us blessed so we can be a blessing. The more prosperous we are, the bigger givers we can be. The more healthy we are, the more we can do with our body to do for God. Amen? So we want that. God wants that. The kingdom needs that. And we would all say, yes, sign me up, sign me up, sign me up. Sign me up for divine health. Sign me up for prosperity. Sign me up for peace of mind. Sign me up for long life. And sign me up for favor. Sign me up with a guarantee that my children are going to turn out right because the Bible guarantees it. Amen. So sign me up for that. We all say, yes, 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 I'm in, I'm in. Sign me up. But here's the thing. To get to each of these avenues, you have to go a certain way. They don't automatically just come to the Christian. There are many Christians walking in sickness, in defeat, in depression, in anxiety, in fear, in poverty. Kids not serving God. There's many Christians living that way. So it doesn't happen at the new birth. It doesn't happen at salvation. When you accept Jesus, the prosperity doesn't just come. The healing doesn't just come. All these things don't just show up and fall into your lap. You have to get a certain way. And I'm going to show you in a second, just the same way with salvation. Just the same way with your eternal life, it didn't just come to you even though God wanted it for you. Even though it was available to you, you had to go a way, a certain specific one-way street to get there. And if you want to receive God's highest and best in all these areas, and by the way, I'm going to establish first of all here that God's way is the best way. God's way of prosperity is the best way of prosperity. God's way of how your children can turn out is the best way that your kids can turn out. God's way of healing is the best way. God's way of peace of mind is the best way. But it's only accessed by going a certain way. Amen? And I'm going to show you that. Praise God. Now, here's the thing. It's like these blessings that we're talking about getting there a certain way. And, well, first off, let's go to Isaiah 55 before I say this. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Hallelujah. First of all, you have to understand, if you don't have it sold out in your heart that God's way is best, you won't go God's way. You won't try to find out what God's way is, and then you certainly won't go God's way. Because, how do I say this? There's many voices in the world. There's many pressures. There's many pull. I mean, there's pulls within your own family, pulls within your job, pulls within your thought life, pulls within the world, trying to get you to go every way but God's way. But see, if I can establish that God's way is best, it won't matter what your thoughts are saying. It won't matter how you're feeling in your flesh. It won't matter what so-and-so's saying or what who and who's saying. All that will matter is, what's God's way? God's way is best, and I need to go that way. Amen. Amen. So let me establish it. Praise God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, for my ways are not your ways." God says, I have a different way of doing things. You might have a way of getting to prosperity, but God says, my way is different. Right. Now, when you line yourself up to God's ways, then maybe you're doing it God's ways. Some people will say, I have a way of making sure I can stay healthy, but God has a higher way. I have a way of raising my children the way I think. It's not God's way. And he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And he goes on in verse 9, says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. What's higher mean better? He's saying my way of doing things is better than your way will ever be. He's God. Amen. He says, my ways are not your ways, for as high, heavens are as higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Better than the way you think. God says his way is best. And people need to get that burned in them, because Christians are out doing things their own way. And he said, my ways are highest and best. So what's that mean? If you're not going God's way, you're not hitting the mark.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, this is going over real good. Aren't you glad I'm back? Oh, man, where's Pastor Scott? I don't know what, you know, how he preaches, you know, and I'd listen, you know what I mean, but I don't know, like, he gets like this or not, but I'm here. I told you, I'm sick 'em. That's what the Holy Ghost said, sick 'em. I just want you blessed. Look what it says in Psalms 18 and verse 30. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. As for God, His way. What are we talking about? Ways. His way is perfect.
Amen.
You know what perfect means? Nothing lacking.
Yeah.
Nothing missing.
Come on. Yeah.
His way.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what's happening. I know what's happening. We're taking inventory in our life. So, you're taking inventory. You're thinking, oh, I should have brought my steel toes today.
Come on.
I know what you're doing. You're taking inventory. But you know what? We need to be put on trial in our lives at times.
Amen.
Why? Because God's trying to pull us up higher. See, there's always ways to go in life. But God says, my way is higher. My way is perfect. So, if you're a believer in the Word, you would be foolish to ever say, I want to do it a different way. Oh, you want less than perfect? You want less than the best for your family? You want less than the best for your body? Amen. His way is perfect. Wow. Now, we'll get into this, but this verse says it, because I'm going to show you what the way is, and then he tells us what the way is. The word of the Lord is tried, and he is a buckler to all those that trust in him, because we're going to see in a second that the word is the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Praise God. Sometimes Christians need a wake-up call. It's true. I'm going to show you. I'm not going to pull any punches today. I'm just going to put it out there. Proverbs 10 and verse 22. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of going His way. The blessing of doing things His way. It makes you rich or increased. And it adds no sorrow. So what can you say? How can you say it this way? The blessing of doing things your way, it'll lead to sorrow. Why? Because it's not as high. It's not as perfect. It's not as good. His way. God says, my way is higher, my way is best, my way is perfect. One way. Hallelujah. Now, you might think to yourself, because the devil will tell you these things, and you might think them because it eases your conscience a little bit. You might think, my life's good. You know, I can't complain. But here's the thing. If you're not doing it God's way in every area, and I'm going to hit some specifics today and really pop the cork off this thing. Maybe get that back. We'll use that as my soapbox. I'll stand on that thing. But here's my point. If you're not doing it God's way with your kids, with your finances, in your life, there's so much more it could be. Amen? Now, let me give you an example. Go to John 14 and verse 6. There's only one way, God's way. Now, if I were to say to everyone on planet Earth, when you die, you have a choice. You can go to a place called heaven, which is full of wonderful things. I'll just say it this way. If you say to someone, when you die, do you want to go to a place of misery or do you want to go to a place of complete blessing? What's everybody going to say that's in their right mind? They're going to say, I want to go to a place of complete blessing. Well, we know as Christians, by the Word of God, that that's attainable.
Amen.
Don't we know that? We know heaven is real, and eternal life is real, and we can have it. We can have a certainty that when we lay our heads down at night, when we pass from this earth, or if Jesus comes back, we know we're not going into the unknown. We might not know everything about heaven, but we know we're not going into a place that's going to hurt us, or cause us to be hindered, or cause us to lack. We're upgrading.
Amen.
Heaven's an upgrade, praise God. It's an increase. To die is gain, the Bible says. To depart and be with Christ is far better. It's far better up there. It's gain up there. We know that. But we also know how to get there. And everybody in the world would say, yeah, I'd rather go to a place that's good than bad. Okay, well, we'll tell you how to get there, but everybody doesn't want to get there, by the way. Jesus said, I am the way. the truth and the life, no man comes to the Father or gets to that place we're talking about where there's gain and better, except through me. Well, let's break that down then. Because everybody would say, oh, I want it, I want it. I want to get there, I want to know there's good things. Okay, but the only way to get there is through the way. But how many people are rejecting the way? It's the same way. You want God's highest and best for your spiritual life. That's Jesus. In heaven, the only way you can get there is going through the way. I want God's highest and best for healing. Okay, you got to go the way. I want God's highest and best for prosperity. Okay, you got to go the way. I want God's highest and best for my kids. Okay, if you want it, you got to go the way. There's only one way. There's a place in Florida that we like to visit. Found favor with a lady down there, and... It's interesting because there's a ton of beaches in Florida, you know, but this one is on a little island, actually. And the only way it's accessible, and first of all, I should say it this way. We love it because there's hardly any people there. I mean, I'm talking literally on the Gulf of Mexico beachfront, being out on the sand and looking left or looking right and left. And for hundreds of yards, if you see one or two people, that's a lot. It's absolutely empty there and quiet, and it's gorgeous. And you say, how is that so? Well, it's so because the only way that island is accessible is by taking a ferry that costs $55 round trip to get over. And so people, the general public, when there's all these beaches you can go to for free, why would they pay $55 to go over to a beach? But my point is, here's my point. For us and what it offers, it's like heaven on earth. Peace and quiet, none of the riffraff. It's just, I mean, I get, so, the kids just love it. It's seashores. Last time we went, this is no joke, we found almost 1,000 sand dollars. In shells, all for the taking. Just dolphins swimming by and stingrays in the water. I mean, it's just wonderful. There's nobody there. It's just unreal. And if I tell you about it, you better not tell anybody about this place. We're trying to keep it that way. I don't care if you go. I'd love to see you blessed, but you can't. But the point is, it's only accessible one way. But you know what? It's worth going the way because it gives us what no other beach in Florida can give us. And the people that are there say, this is why we live here now, because there's nothing else like it. It is completely empty and dead on beautiful water with blue water out in the front there. It's awesome. But it's only accessible one way. Now, here's the thing about that one way. It's not always the most convenient. It's not always the easiest and the quickest. And it's not always, there's always a price to pay. But it's worth it all. Amen? God's way is highest and best. It's perfect, God says. But a lot of times people don't want to go that way because there's a price to pay. But let me tell you something. The price you'll pay for not going his way is way higher than the price you'll pay for going his way. Because really, the only price you pay for going his way is laying down your flesh. That's it. It doesn't cost you money. You get increased with money. It doesn't cost you health. It gives you health. It doesn't cost you peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind. God's way is so much better than any other way. People don't understand that in their mind. One way to get there. Praise God. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Praise the name of Jesus. So many Christians doing things their way, their way, their way. Okay, you can do it that way, but you're living less than what God has for you. There is a way. Oh, there's lots of ways, isn't there? There's lots of ways. There's what it says. There is a way. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way which seems right unto man. Oh, I know how I'm going to raise my kids. Oh, I know what I'm going to do with my money. I know what I'm going to do with relationships. Oh, I know how I'm going to handle this situation. Oh, no, 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 no. There's a way that seems right unto man. But the end thereof is the ways of death or destruction. Why? Higher, better, more perfect his way. What am I trying to do? Get you to make up your mind. Okay, 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 I'm going to go God's way. I surrender! Amen. I surrender, Lord. What's your way? Go to 1 Kings 3 and verse 14. Isn't it amazing that here salvation is offered? Now let me ask you, is salvation offered to the whole world? Yeah. Yes, it is. Isn't it amazing, though, that it's only accessible one way?
Yeah.
And God doesn't come off of that stance and say, oh, I'm being too close-minded.
Come on.
You know that's what people have said. Oh, that Christianity is close-minded. They think they're the only ones.
Come on.
Oh, the only reason we think that is because Jesus said it. That's the only reason we think he's the only way is because that man said it out of his mouth. Amen.
Amen.
People say it's closed mind. No, I think it's pretty open-minded that God made a way for us.
Amen.
See, there was no way to God until Jesus laid down his life. So this whole idea the devil pumps into people, oh, that Christianity, how can they say they're the only way and Jesus is the only way? Well, we can say it because Jesus said it, and it's not closed-minded. It's very open-minded. God provided us an opportunity to escape death. Amen. Praise God. God is good.
Amen.
We don't get to that ferry and think, oh, we hate this thing. No, we're thankful that it's our access point to get across to where we want to go. Amen. 1 Kings 3 and verse 14. And if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then, not before then, I will lengthen your days. Long life. Obtainable how? It's going God's way. Oh yeah. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Just talking about his way real quick. I just feel like a lot of times religion creeps in and people just think, well, I'm a Christian, it'll just work out. No, 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 it won't. It won't just work out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a Christian, I praise Jesus, I even cry during worship. Big deal. We don't swear, and we don't watch the movies with the bad words and the bad parts in it, and we try to be moral and be good to our neighbors, so it's just going to work out for me. Dumb. It's a dumb thought. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Well, we'd all say, I'd like to eat the good of the land, experience the good of the land. That means to drive the good of the land, wear the good of the land, live in the good of the land, experience the good of the land. To consume the good of the land is what it means. Well, he said, there's a way to get to the good of the land, but it's got to go through willingness and obedience.
Amen.
Well, most Christians right there are canceled. Cross them off the list. Say, Pastor, be nicer. I am being nicer. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to get you to the good of the land. The only way it's accessible is through willingness. You got to take the willingness ferry.
Yeah, that's good.
You got to take the obedience ferry.
Yes.
Cross that water to get to the good of the land. Oh, I want the good of the land. I want the good of the land. I want heaven. I want heaven. Okay, go through Jesus. I don't want that Jesus stuff. Okay. Have fun missing heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I don't want to be willing and obedient. Well, okay, have fun missing the good of the land. That's up to you.
Amen.
Proverbs 28:20. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. Look what it says. A faithful man will abound with blessings. Well, everybody would say, yeah, sign me up for the abounding with blessings part. Okay, you can have it. God says it's yours, but you got to go away. What's the way? Faithfulness.
Amen.
There you go. Disqualify many Christians from that. You know I'm telling the truth, don't you? I mean, I could hammer on willingness and obedience all day, all next week, and talk about how Christians aren't willing and obedient. If they want the good of the land, oh, I'm believing God for great things, and you ain't willing and obedient, and being in nothing. I'm not saying necessarily people here. I'm saying in the body of Christ. Willingness. Everybody wants to do their own thing, not obedient to nothing. The Word says to do this. The Word says this about coming to church. The Word says this about having a pastor. The Word says this, do this with your money. The Word says do this with your kids. The Word says do this with your love walk. The Word says do this with your words. And you just do your own thing, disobedient, and yet you're thinking, God's going to bless me. Woohoo! No, He's not. We cannot balk at God's ways. He said, there's a way. It's like, well, it would be the same thing as people saying, oh, God won't let me go to hell. I don't need to accept that Jesus. God is so merciful. He won't let me go to hell. I'll have heaven. No, 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 no. He said, if you want heaven, here's the road, and it's the only road. The good of the land is only obtained two different roads, willingness and obedience. You got to go on them. Abounding and blessing is only attained one way, through faithfulness. Stop with this garbage that's just going to fall on me. No, no, you have a part to play. You have a part to play. Well, where does grace come in, Pastor Mike? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Grace comes in when you do His way, and then the grace and the power of God flows into the situation to bring to pass all that you're believing for. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you miss it, grace is there to pick you up, which I'll talk about at the end here. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good to us. God is so good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where do I want to go? Let's go to Hebrews 3 and verse 10. Hebrews 3 and verse 10. What am I trying to get people to do? Stop doing it your way. Stop doing it your way. Stop doing the way your husband's telling you to go. Oh, wait. Did I just open up a door? Should I go through that door? I think I should. Stop going the way your spouse is pressuring you. They're not your God. You will not stand before your spouse at the judgment seat. You will not stand before your husband or your wife. Well, I can't do this because of them. Who says? When did they become your Jesus? His way, not their way. Well, so-and-so will think this and that. No, God's way. Hebrews 3 in verse 10. I'm sorry, I had to say it. It came up out of my heart. I'm going to say it. Because it's true. Well, yeah. Wherefore I was grieved, right? I was grieved, he said. God said I was grieved. Something made God upset. With that generation, talking about the children of Israel, said they always err in their heart. They're always wrong in their heart. He said, why? They have not known my ways. Why was he grieved? Because the only way to get to the stuff that he has for you is to go the way. He wants people to have the good of the land, but they won't go his way. He wants people to abound in blessings, but they won't go his way. He wants every single person on planet Earth that has a heartbeat right now to go to heaven, but they won't go his way. That's why he's grieved. But notice it says here that they have not known my ways. So to go his way, you first got to find out what his ways are. Don't you? Amen. You got to find out what is the ways. Do you know there's a way, a specific way to assure your children will turn out okay? There's a way. You know, don't listen to the world that says, well, you just never know. Oh, I know. I got the final word on it. I know. Don't tell me I don't know. I know. He can't lie. He won't lie. He'd never lie. I know. But if I got to go that way, amen. It's like you're driving down the road. And it says, road closed this way, cliff ahead. Or go this way to your destination. You look at that and you say, you know, I'm not going to go the way that's telling me's good. I'm going to do it my own way. What's that going to lead to? Amen. A tumble, a fall. So you got to find out what his ways are. Do you know that there's a way of prosperity? But got it. God has a way. There's a way to live completely free from freedom from fear, depression, anxiety, and stress. There's a way. There's a way to do it. You just got to go the way. Amen. So he says you got to find out the ways. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready for me to get out of one of my soapboxes today? Here we go. You know where you find out God's way? Because you can't go God's way until you find out God's way. You can't. You know how you find out God's way? In this place. In this place. I had a lady give me a pastor appreciation card last night in Olean. And in it she said, Pastor Mike, I am so thankful. Basically the gist of it was, for years I sat in a church, knew nothing, came to your church and you started showing me the word. What was I showing her? The way. And her life changed. And so many people can testify that same thing, that they learned it here. Amen. Praise God. Before I get to that, go to Psalm 119, verse 105. Got a little ahead of myself there. I need to, the Holy Ghost, like he wrangled me and said, back up. Okay. Psalms 119, verse 105. I am so passionate and I love you so much and your family so much. I want to see you maximum blessed, but I can't get you maximum blessed if you choose to do your own thing. Can't do it. My prayers won't stop it. My faith won't be able to stop it. If you choose to do your own thing, the Bible says what will happen to the chooser of their own way. No prayer going to stop that. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Look what he says here. He says, The word is a lamp to my feet. What's that mean? It's lighting up the path. Amen. A light unto my path. What's he saying? The way of the word is the lighted way. It's the best way. Going God's way is going God's word. God's word is God's way. Right? God's word is how you find out what God's ways are. To start going. See, how do I go the way for my kids? How do I go the way for my family? How do I go the way for my finances? How do I go the way for my mind? How do I go the way for long life and peace of mind and favor and protection? The word will tell you. And that's where I was saying, where do you learn the way? You learn the way under a shepherd. Amen. Under a feeder. Someone that feeds you. It's amazing that I came to church as a Christian born again, as messed up as you could be. Broke, sick, depressed, wrong living, all those things. As a born again child of God, if I'd have died, I'd have gone right to heaven to be with him. I was just as much his child as anybody else was his child. But you know what? Until I found out, hey, there's a way to get out of this depression. Oh, I'm going to go that way. Oh, there's a way to get out of this financial misery. I'm going to go that way. Oh, there's a way to do all these things. You know where I found that out from? In church. Amen. Do you know what your pastor's doing every single Sunday and every single Wednesday that he ministers? Just showing you the way. Amen. Just showing you the way. And you know what happens? You know what happens? Okay, first of all, go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. I want to get this all together here. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. We know what the word says about not having a shepherd. In Matthew 9, it says that the sheep that don't have a shepherd are scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. You need a shepherd, amen?
Amen.
But here's what you have to know, people. Where the heck did I say to go? Ephesians 4, 11. Yes. Here's what you have to know about that whole scattered, faint, dejected, harassed. Calling me Pastor Mike and not sitting under my ministry, because let me back up even further. What do? I get on my face to hear from heaven. What's God tell me? God tells me what to tell you. Why do so many people come up and just say, Pastor, I don't know how you preach that, but you read my mail. You said exactly what I needed to hear. Well, I didn't know you needed to hear it, but he did. Why? Because I took the time to hear him.
Amen.
So I hear from heaven. He tells me what to say. I come up here and shout it and pop veins and spit all over you and shout your ears out and break eardrums. I do that every week. And I'm shouting the way. I'm shouting the way. I'm shouting the way. But so many people are unfaithful to ever hear the way. And so when you don't hear the way, you don't go the way. When you don't go the way, you don't get what's on the other end of the way.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, all these gifts that God's given us. The pastor's the one you'll be, I'm not saying the most important, but he's the one that you'll be around the most, week in and week out. But thank God in the church we are, we get prophets, we get evangelists, we get teachers, we get apostles in. So I'm going to hammer on both of them here, but it says that fivefold. I give these gifts to you, men and women who are sitting in these offices that are anointed to help you to do what? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. You know what that word perfect means? To equip.
That's good.
Now you say to yourself, why do I need equipment?
Come on.
Well, tomorrow night there's a Monday night football game, and as much of a debacle as that thing's going to be, there are two opponents going against each other. The Bills look at the Patriots as the enemy, and the Patriots look at the Bills as the enemy. Can you imagine going into that game, and the Bills or the Patriots, although the Patriots probably could show up with no equipment and win, but you know what I'm saying here. It's still get hurt here. I'll get off it. But imagine one of the teams, the NFL football team, showing up with no pads on, no helmets on. They'd be at a disadvantage. They'd be vulnerable, wouldn't they? Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have an enemy. You have an opponent. Look at y'all, just looking at me. I'm telling you, you do. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, is out there like a lion trying to devour you. Oh, I know in our day and age we downplay the devil. Devil's just a cute little character. No, he's not. He's the very entity behind molestation, rape, and pedophilia, and murder, and all these horrible things. But the devil, we play around with this stuff. The devil. Woo-hoo! He's awful. And he's after us. I say, oh, you're trying to scare me. No, we're equipped. We do it God's way. He can't touch us. But you have an opponent. And if you choose to go out ill-equipped, it's like showing up to the football game and leaving your pads in the locker room. You're going to get hurt. And the Bible says, how are you going to be equipped? How are you going to be equipped? You're going to be equipped by a shepherd, by these ministries, these ministers that come in and what? Feed or what? Point the way. Point the way. Point the way. Show you what the way is. But let's be honest. A lot of people in the body of Christ can't be faithful to show up. I mean, to come to church 2 weeks in a row, it's like a miracle for some people. But every time you missed, a way was being shown to you. A way to get to something. He said, they don't know my ways, and so they don't receive what I have for them. Guest ministers come in with different gifts and anointings on their life to equip and show us ways. And most people, like I said, I'll talk about Pastor Nancy B's, and some people, boop, boop, one ear out the other, just tune me out. Have no intention of availing yourselves. Okay, then you have no intention of being equipped in this life.
Amen. Good word.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
I'll never back off God's word. I'll never back off it because, well, I'll just get to what Jesus said because then we can believe him. Nobody's going to believe a 5 foot, well, I say six, but that's probably lying. 5 foot six guy up here, y'all, they'll believe the red words. They'll believe the red words of Jesus, I bet. Hallelujah. So he says, go with me real quick to Psalm 92, verse 13. Where do you find out his way? You find out in church. Psalm 92, verse 13. Isn't it a shame that God is so good? That number one, you have a pastor that is faithful enough to get on his face to hear for your life.
Amen.
Who will actually come up here in the face of opposition. And the pressure is to not preach the Bible nowadays, just so you know. But I don't give a flooty-tootie. I just preach it. I don't care. I'm not trying to fill seats. I'm trying to fill lives. But you have a God that's good enough that would actually tell your shepherd what you need for your life. And how sad and ashamed. That's why God said they're gifts to the body of Christ. That people treat that gift like I've treated gifts before. People give me something I don't really care about. I just stick it on the shelf. Don't care about it. Don't look at it. Don't avail myself to it at all. And people do that all the time with God's gifts. And look what he says in Psalm 92 and verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, planted, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Flourishing in life in every area. By planted, why? Because when you're planted, you're hearing the ways. See, this is what I want to say to you. You calling me Pastor Mike, but not sitting under my ministry, under what the pastor's supposed to do, you're not free from scattered and faint, dejection, harassment, bewilderment, distressment, because you have somebody you call pastor. You're free from those things when you do what a sheep does with a shepherd. Which is submit to the shepherd, go the way of the shepherd, listen to the shepherd, feed from the shepherd. That's what gets you free from, because when the shepherd's preaching, the way's getting preached. You learn the way, you do the way. Just calling me Pastor Mike, say, I have a pastor, it's Pastor Mike, and not sitting under my ministry will not free you from that. And he said, if you'll be planted in a place where the way's being taught, you'll flourish.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm almost done here. Go with me to, this is on my heart, so I'm gonna say it. Proverbs 22:6. You know what one of the lies of the devil is about to parents? Now, usually if you preach about money and parenting, it gets quiet in the church, so get ready for awkward silences. Here it comes. But I'll fill up the air with this big mouth of mine. Don't worry. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Well, you just never know with kids. I mean, the world, you just never know what can happen. And you know what one of the lies of the devil is to tell people? See, I'm about to tell you what for your children. Did y'all hear that? Went out all of a sudden. I'm about to tell you God's ways to make sure that your kids will walk into the greatest blessings that they could possibly have, highest and best on the earth. But see, and a lot of people, they don't do this thing, but what they do and the mistake they make is they think, my kid's not as bad as Johnny across the street. Well, my kid's certainly doesn't act like Susie. You can have that take if you want to. But let me finish this whole message and maybe you'll change your mind about the danger. The danger of hearing God's way and going your own way. You are setting yourself up for a fall. You are. This is sobering stuff. But look what he says here in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. Oh, you mean you're not just supposed to be buddy-buddy with them? You know, when you go to a physical trainer, sometimes that's the last person you want to see. You walk through the door and see their face like, oh, physical therapist. Why? Because they stretch you. They cause things to be a little uncomfortable in your life. Sometimes being a parent is making your kids uncomfortable. What's that mean? Not giving them everything they want. No is very uncomfortable to a child. Look at, train up a child in the way he should go. What am I saying? God's saying, okay, there's a way to how to do this with your kids. Train up a child in the way. Well, what did we say the way was? The Word. Train up your child in the ways of the Word, doing things the Word's way, and look at the promises. When they are older, they will not depart. Amen. That's a guarantee from God Almighty. Hallelujah. I know how Caleb and Abby are going to turn out. You know, nobody's going to tell me different because God already told me. I don't need your opinion. I don't need the world's opinion. I don't need Dr. Phil's opinion. I don't need Oprah's opinion. I got God's opinion on it. He said if I'll stick them in the Word and keep them in the Word, hallelujah, they won't depart when they get older. Enough said, done. Train up a child the way they should go. So let me ask you, well, before I ask you this question, go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Ooh, man. If you're out there, you're feeling bad or you're getting condemned, you're taking it wrong. You say, oh, boy, this is my help. It's time to go a different way. It's time to get better in life. Praise God. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Because I know what people say. Well, okay, it's a little extreme. My kids are fine. They're great kids. They do good in school. And stop thinking your thoughts. And start going by what the Word says. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord God commanded to teach you, the Word. That you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That you might fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. That you and your son and your son's son in all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now, in other places, well, here, go to verse 5. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Observe to do what? The Word. Go the Word's way, right? That's what he's talking about. That it may be well with you. The guarantee of going God's way, the Word's way. That it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily. God's way doesn't lead to lack. I don't care what the devil says, it leads to increase. That you may increase mightily, as the Lord thy fathers have promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall, here we go, verse 7. Okay, parents, get ready. Put your listening ears on. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Oh, parents, every day you're teaching your kids something. You're sowing into your kids every day. Let me tell you something. Every seed produces a harvest. I know. This makes me unpopular, guy, but I don't care. I love your children and I love you. And the world's not going to tell it to you, and the devil's not going to tell it to you. Teach them to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house. Who's sitting around with their kids talking about the Word of God and the ways of God? This guy is. Or are you pouring into your kids all the recreation and all the different things? The words, well, we'll get to the word. If we can make it to church, we'll get there. Okay, have fun with that. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. What's he saying? In your house and in your family, with your kids, the word should be the number one topic. God's ways, God's plans. I know this puts us on trial, parents, but at times we need to be put on trial. We need to pick it up for our kids' sake. And don't come at me with, well, I'm a good mom, I'm a good dad. No one's saying you're not. But the best way you can be the best mom and the best way you can be the best dad, or if you're just a guardian and you're not a mom or dad, is to do it God's way. There's no denying that. And some people have made God so secondary, everything else. I mean, we'll run to this thing, we'll run to that thing to get on time, but church, eh. Oh, you mean the place that's teaching you the ways to get you blessed? Brother Hagin would say when he pastored for 12 years, he said, I can look out and tell you every way, every single way each kid's going to turn out in this church. That's what he'd say. Well, how their parents train them and raise them. I can tell you exactly. And he said, he came back, he said, it was 100% every time. It's easy. It wasn't because he was some seer, had some crystal ball. He had the word on it. Yeah. Teach your children diligently what the word. He said, if you'll go, the verses before were to tell you that if you go the way of the word, your kids will be blessed. It'll be well with you. You'll increase mightily. But let's be honest, moms and dads and guardians, whoever you are here, let's be honest. Let's judge ourselves. How much of God is in our home? See, my kids, I'm to be an example. So don't look at me like I'm saying my kids are better than your kids, because I don't believe that. But I'm just telling you how we do it. My kids would never not think of going to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday when we're not out of town. They would never not think of it. It's God's word. They know it's the most important thing, not optional. It is most important. It's better than your recreation. It's better than your hobby. It'll bring you more than your hobby. If you want to sow hobbies and sow other things into your kids, okay, but there'll be a harvest on that. I'll enjoy the harvest that I'm going to get, which is life. He said, you sow into the spirit, of the spirit you reap life. Now, if you're sitting there mad and offended at me, boo-hoo, that's what I say to you. Because you're crazy if you think that what I'm saying is not Bible, because I'm showing you the verses. Well, that's just your opinion, is it? He said, train them in the way. Training means constantly talk. He said, talk to your kids about it when you walk, when you're lying down, when you rise up. They need to know about God and His ways. Why? Because the world's going to pull them every other way.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen.
There's a way of prosperity that can protect your finances. You say, well, I can pay my bills. I drive a nice car. Well, I'll get to you in a second.
Come on.
The way of prosperity is through generosity. It's the only way.
Right.
Of God's prosperity. You get the world's way, but he said there's sorrow coming. The way of true prosperity. There's people that will say, isn't it amazing? Reverend Greer was in here on that Tuesday night in May, and he preached about the tithe. I don't look at people's giving reports. I don't look at people's offerings. Don't want to know, don't care. But by the word of knowledge, the Lord showed me, there were people in that service that night that were not tithers in our church that have heard me say it over and over again. And there are people that walked out of that service, and they're still not tithers. You say, you must look. No, I'm telling you, giving you my word, I don't. Now, I could look if I wanted, just so you know, it's not wrong for the pastor to look.
Right.
But I've chosen not to look at this point. I don't want to know what people give and don't give. But I know by the Spirit of God, people walked out of that service and still weren't tithers.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, my bills are paid, I drive a nice car. Prosperity doesn't just show up in your pocketbooks, people.
Come on.
And keep balking at the word. Keep balking at the word. Just keep balking at the word. That's what we're going to close on, the balkers at the word. Matthew 7:24. I'll shut it down here. Say, you're mad at us. No. I'm mad at the devil for lying to you. You're saying my kids can't ever do anything fun recreationally. No, my kids do things fun and recreationally, but we do things God's way. He said, seek first the kingdom. Not seek first baseball practice. Do you still appreciate me? Because this is Pastor Appreciation Month. What else would you want me to say to you? Seriously, what do you want me to say to you, parents? Do whatever you want with your kids. No. I think you should keep them out of church because baseball practice is showing them the way. What do you want me to say? Oh yeah, don't do the right thing with your money. Keep your money. Just do your own thing with your money. What is my choice? So don't get angry with me. If you want to get angry with God. It'll get you nowhere. And it won't be good for you. What is that going to do? His ways are perfect. You just haven't renewed your mind to his ways. See, we think the tithe is bad, but the tithe is perfect. It's God's way. Amen. We think the way of raising our kids, that's a drudge, and that's tough to get our kids in church. Sure ain't tough to get them into school every day. Is it tough to get them to their practices and all their other things every single time? Yeah. But church, it's like pulling stinking teeth. Right. Your mind's not renewed. Your mind's not renewed. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Now here we go. All you, I'm just going to keep doing it my way. It's not that bad. He's up there saying this. It's not that bad. Well, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was found on the rock. What's he saying? The tests and trials are coming. The waves are coming. The winds are coming to people that do the word. But if you'll do the word, you won't crash. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these sayings of mine, what's he saying? Everyone who hears the way, because the word's the way. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. Well, he was the word. He's saying the word's the way. Everyone who hears the way and doesn't go the way, couldn't you say it that way? Sure. That's what doing the word is going the way of the word. Right. Anyone who hears the word and doesn't go the way of the word, he said, I'll liken them into a foolish man. Which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house. And it fell, and great was the fall. You know what a great fall is? It can look a lot of different ways. But my point is this. Jesus Christ, in red letters, said, if you keep hearing and hearing the way, and don't go the way, at the end of the road, there will be a crash. There will be a fall. Now, this is what I wanted to say to you here now, to help you going forward. You ever heard the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Anybody know about Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Poor Humpty. Oh, the trials that Humpty endures. Oh, the devil is after Humpty. No. Hey, Humpty, stay off the wall.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
What are you doing on the wall, Humpty? What am I saying? As Christians, oh, the devil's after me. Oh, it's just been a trial and a tough road to hoe here.
Come on.
Jesus said that at times we set up our crashes. We set up our falls by doing what? Hearing and hearing and going, that's the way of the word, and we're just going this way. That's why when you say to me, Pastor, I know the Word says train them in the Word, talk about the Word, but for whatever reason, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to change my life. My kids are great. My kids get good grades, and people love my kids, and they're so darn cute. Beep, beep, beep. I know what you're thinking. Well, I say, okay, what do you say about, what about the fall, though? What about the impending crash? Well, I'm paying my bills. I'm not tithing, I'm paying my bills, and I got a nice vehicle and a nice home. This tithe and business doesn't just lead to prosperity. I'm doing it on my own. What about the crash? The Word protects you from the crash.
Amen.
It's better to hear it now. See, you know what the pastor does a lot of times? Is he comes in and picks up the mess.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary. Humpty Dumpty was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Someone came up to me in Olean last night and said, you know, I always thought that Humpty was pushed. And I thought, she said, that devil was telling me that. She said, the devil used to tell me that Humpty was, like, she was joking around, like, I used to think that somebody must have pushed Humpty. And she said, that, I know that's what the devil wants me to think, but the truth is Humpty should have never been up on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Now, am I saying every test and every trial is a result that you crashed your life? No. But see, if you're not going God's way, you know it. You know it. You know, it's not like some blind mystery. Well, I don't know if I'm doing this or not. You know if you're going God's way. We tell you what the word is plainly here. Amen. But my point is, Jesus himself said, if you hear it and don't do it, that's why would you want to go any other way but God's way? What lie have you got in your head that tells you that your way is better? When I can plainly show you that God says it's not. Can I soapbox one more thing for us here before we go? What about... Well, I'm going to get my opinions from Grandma. I want to see what my friends... You know, Pastor said this. What do you think about this? Let me tell you what the Word says. Blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who cares what Aunt so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, Grandma so-and-so says if they're not telling you the same thing I'm saying, which is this book? So many people, well, what Pastor says. No, what's the only thing I'm saying? I tell everybody, I have the easiest job in the world. Professional plagiarizer. I just plagiarize what's already been written. I don't tell you anything that's my opinion. I showed you in the Bible that if you go the way, that God's way with your kids is teaching them the Word, seek first the kingdom of God. That's not my opinion of how to raise your kids. It's not my opinion what you should do with your money. It's not my opinion. You say, how do I get free in my mind? There's a way, or free from anxiety, stress, and fear, and depression. You got to do the right thing with your mind. You got to go the way the Word says to do it with your mind. That's not my opinion. I'm not telling you how I think you should raise your kids. I'm just plagiarizing what God said how to do it. And then you have a choice. But God said, I set before you blessings and cursings. Life and death. He said, I set it before you. I laid it out. You want to go life and peace? You want to go blessing for your kids? You want to go blessing in your money? You want to go blessing in your mind, blessing in your body? I set it before you. He said, choose life. Amen. What's he saying? It's your choice. But I encourage you to choose the right one.
Yes.
Now, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I know. I've gone through things. I've not done the way. And the pieces are kind of scrambled. And all you have to do is repent. The Bible says in Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what the word repent means? Change your mind. Change your ways. Just change your way and go a different way. Okay, so what? Maybe you're here and there's things that have crashed because of not doing the words. Okay, so you're here, but you know what faith does now? It goes forward. Because when you walk out of here, guess what? You're going to walk out a way. What way are you going to go from here? Well, I'm going to continue to take my kids down my way. I'm going to continue to take my money down my way. I'm going to continue to do my relationships my way. I'm going to continue to do my life my way. Wrong choice. Amen?
Amen.
What's God trying to do? Pull you on his way. Get you on his way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We love you and praise you. Oh, Father. How I wish I could just force everybody to do things your way. Your way is highest and your way is best. It's not my opinion. That's what you said. You said to seek first and all these things will be added to us. There's no subtraction in putting you first. It might seem like a price to pay at first. It might seem like a price to pay in your flesh and in your mind. But Father, if we'll renew our mind to what your word says, it is worth the price. It is worth. See, when I got a revelation of that island, I said, that ferry is worth it. $55, please. I'll take it to get away from the crowds and get away from the rat race and shoulder to shoulder people on beaches and different things. When you realize the blessings, the price of laying down your life is so worth it. Father, I pray for every single person in this service today that this would be branded in their heart, that the words God's way, God's way, God's way, God's way, God's way, That in everything they do, what's God's way? Well, I don't know what God's way is. Okay, I'm going to find it. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to ask pastor, what's God's way with my money? What's God's way with my mind? What is God's way with my children? What is God's way in my relationships? What is God's way? What is it? That, Father, I pray that those words, I'm going to just say them again, Father. God's way. Brand it into their heart. God's way. God's way. And Father, I pray that they would get that revelation and that they would seek out your way. But then not only when they would seek out your way, when they find out your way, they would go your way. Father, we're only trying to get people into the maximum blessing. And just like salvation, there's only one way. And the maximum blessing for our children, the maximum blessing for our finances and for our relationships and for all areas of our life, there's only one way, and it's your way, is to get the maximum blessing that will also guarantee there'll be no sorrow. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Let's thank him for what we received. Even if it stepped on your toes, he only corrects you because he loves you. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that it doesn't automatically happen, that we have to go the way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question in your mind. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But when I ask myself that question, if today would be my last day on planet Earth, I know that I'd go to heaven. You say, Pastor, how can you be so sure? Because I went God's way. I did it God's way. Well, what's God's way? Well, God's way isn't church attendance. God's way for getting to heaven isn't being a perfect person. God's way for getting to heaven isn't to being generous with your money. God's way to get to heaven is going through Jesus. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the way. So if you're here and you can say, I didn't know that was the way. I thought it was about going to church or being a good person or jumping through a bunch of religious hoops. No, that's not how you get to heaven. You don't ever have to step foot in this building again. You can still go to heaven. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, you can be sure. We won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus this morning and know for sure that you're going to heaven, you say, I believe in him. I do believe he was real. I don't understand everything, but I believe he was real. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus this morning, would you just lift your hand there? Is there anybody that wants to receive him before we close? I remember I did it on January 10th, 2002. I gave my heart to Jesus. Praise God. Anybody want to receive him at all? Just lift your hand in there and put it right back down. You're not joining this church or becoming a member of anything. You're just saying, I believe in Jesus. I want to receive him. Anybody at all before we close? Father, I don't see any hands, so if there is somebody in here, I pray they would not pass from this life. Or if there's somebody listening by live stream that needs to receive you, I pray that they would cry out your name. Simply call on your name and confess that they believe in you, that you died and rose again. Father, that is the way to eternal life. So, Father, we worship you. Let's thank him this morning for what we receive. If the ushers want to go ahead and get the stuff for communion ready, that'd be a blessing. Let's just keep worshiping God. Let's just keep worshiping him right into communion. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We thank you. Your way, your way, your way, your way, your way. Your way. And you're not mad at us for when we haven't gone your way. You're not mad. You're saying, just come up higher. He's a God of forgiveness and a God of mercy. He loves you. He's not mad at you or angry with you. He loves you. Go ahead, brothers, and come forward. Let's just worship him as the elements are getting passed out. Father, we praise you. We magnify you. Thank you, Jim. We glorify you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing us the way. Thank you for showing us the way. Everything you're facing, there's a way out of it. Whew, thank you, Lord. Oh, we choose you, Father. We choose you. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We worship you and praise you this morning. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for dying on that cross. Father, thank you for making a way. Thank you for making a way for us. Thank you for making a way into heaven, a way into eternal life, a way to get back into fellowship with you, Father, that was broken in that garden. Thank you for making a way. Jesus, thank you for laying down and being the bridge that bridged the gap between us and the Father. You are the bridge, Jesus, and we thank you so much. Thank you so much for laying your life down so that we could have eternal life. We worship you, we praise you, magnify you and glorify you. There's a way. Thank you for the way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. You know, as we're worshiping Jesus, do you know how bold it was of Jesus? You can look up here for a second. To stand up in front of people that were religious, that thought that was their way, how bold it was of him to say, "You're doing it wrong." But if he would have never said that, we'd have never known. Now, I'm not saying that because I know the message was bold today. I'm not saying that to take the pressure off me. But what I'm saying is, if you walk out of here and not recognize that being told the way is actually an act of mercy and love, you'll walk out of here offended and mad. You'll walk out of here, who does he think he is? When you, that's what they said about Jesus. Who does he think he is that that's the only way? But if he didn't say it, we'd have never known it. It needs to be said. Amen? Amen? Jesus, thank you for being our example. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul talking about communion, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread and let's break it and let's go ahead and eat. Father, I thank you for what the bread represents. I thank you that the bread represents the body of Jesus that was broken, so ours wouldn't have to be. By his stripes, we are healed. Just put your focus on him and what he went through so you wouldn't have to. He himself took our infirmities in his own body that was broken so that we could walk into healing and freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the body. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." Let's go ahead and drink the juice. Of course, Father, we know that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for the remission of our sins. The lamb that was without spot or blemish, shedding his perfect blood for us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for doing that so that we could have eternal life, so that we could walk in forgiveness of sins and all the wrong things that we've ever done have been paid for. The things that we're doing now, if you'll confess it, were paid for by that blood. The mistakes that we'll make in the future, that if we repent, will be paid for by that blood. Father, we thank you and glorify you today. We magnify you and honor you. And now, Father, as we go to get ready for the luncheon, Father, I pray that you'd bless every single person that sacrificed, that spent money, that took time to make something for us to be blessed today. I pray that you'd bless them. And Father, I pray that you'd bless this food that we're about to partake of. We thank you for strength, for health, and for healing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.